Welcome to episode 192 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we going, guys?
Going well, Jace. Going well. I'm really looking forward to today. Whenever Nick comes to the table, we always have something interesting to talk about. So, Nick, how are you, my friend?
I'm going well. Geez, you put the pressure on here.
Absolutely.
Good topic. I don't know. I just thought, you know, money and tech. I thought, yeah, I've got the money man here, Mr. Marty Vids, and I've got the tech man, Jace Robb. So I might, I just couldn't get Robinson out then, but I don't
Jace
mind
Robb.
That. Jace Robb.
Jace Robb.
It's late in the day and I couldn't get through it. Jace Robb. Anyway, Jason Robinson, tech guy, so I'll come with a topic that brings them both together is what I thought. Jace, how are you, mate?
Mate, I'm good. I'm good. Like, you guys know what I'm like. We get 40 episodes off a milestone and I get excited. So when we're at 192 and the ride home towards 200, I mean, blink and we'll be at 300. It's just the way it happens. But you got to enjoy all those little milestones as you go. So here we go. We're coming. And we actually should probably start planning a bit of a 200th episode. So if you've made it 2 minutes into this episode and you'd love to maybe see Jace, Nick and Marty live, start to encourage us to do a live recording for episode 200, you know, maybe a local pub somewhere, and we'll get our 50 followers into a room and have a bit of fun. But no, I'm just
proper.
Your following is through the roof after some of our earlier eps where you've just gone viral. So I think we're just waiting for
just one.
Maybe with the name Jace Robb, I might be able to go viral. But I thought Nick Riley would go viral before Marty V. But here we are. But
today's the day.
Anyway, that aside,
go on, Nick. No pressure.
That aside, life's good, vibes good. Tech guy and finance guy are on standby, ready for what you've got for us, Nick. So talk to us, mate.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to talk about the rise of Apple and. I'll start by saying,
who are they?
I was going to say, where have you been for the last 10 or 15 years, Nick?
I'm not talking Granny Smiths. Is this something new
you've come across?
No. But here's just some numbers for you. But their share price is up 300% in the last 5 years. And wow. I thought, if you want it safe to put your money in the stock market, if you had an offshore account and this is an overseas account, and this is by no means advice. I'm going to say overseas account, access to overseas stocks. You'd put your money in Apple, wouldn't you? Because some of the things that they're doing, they're just going to be part of our lives. And I know they already are, but we're not going to have a choice soon. So, you know, Apple's going down this path of wanting to replace our wallet. And they've pretty much done that. You know, anyone's got an iPhone knows the digital wallet. You know, all your payment cards can be in there, debit, credit cards.
Tickets, plane tickets, movie tickets.
Boarding passes, movie tickets, whatever it is. It can be held in your wallet. You can now access your front door with your phone, so you're no longer going to need keys.
You don't need friends anymore.
You don't need like friends. You can build one of those. You can build one that likes you, you know, that doesn't question back. So anyway, they're just taking over. So that's, I was just talking about their stock price. But
sorry, just while you talk about Apple, I don't know if you've seen it or not. Have you seen the beta users or the latest release of the operating software for Apple? You can control it with your eyes?
No.
So I hope this wasn't a scam video, and you know, check it out while you get into it. But a video came out of an early release of the operating software where as your eyeball looks at a certain app, like if you want to open your messages, you'll look at your messages and be able to like do a gesture, like blink twice or something, and your text messages will open without you having to have your physical hand touch the button or looking at the phone. But anyway, I'll confirm that that's real and I'll let you get into the real purpose of this episode. But you're right. I like, not to get too excited, but this is the kind of crazy things that will continue to get people giving their share of money to Apple.
Yes, giving their share of money and openly using Apple products, which builds the data or the profile that Apple have on you. And the thing that caught my attention this week was Apple to drive iPhone users towards buy now, pay later loans. So some people may or may not know, but around a year ago, Apple actually, off their own balance sheet, created a buy now, pay later scheme. So if you used Apple Pay on your phone, you had the ability to pay for that product later and Apple would fund that product through their own balance sheet or their own cash. They're not doing that anymore. They've pulled that product recently, but all they're doing to replace that is they're actually partnering with experts in the field. So existing buy now, pay later platforms, or the article I read was actually ANZ. So you will now be able to, or whenever this is live, but you'll be able to logistically, this is how I think it will work, tap your Apple phone or your wallet linked to your ANZ card, and it will come up with an option as to how you would like to pay for that. So would you like to use the money now and pay for that, or would you like to pay for it over a 3, 6, or 12 month term or payment term? So this is a deal that they've done with ANZ and existing ANZ credit card users, from what I understand. But they're also looking at that other buy now, pay later providers such as Zip to provide that option when you use your phone. So we'll talk about this in a minute, but as in the whole Apple thing, but where this really got me thinking is where are we going as a society as far as basic money management goes, and you know, our ability to understand a debit credit system, that you know, when you are doing things like this, you're spending means that you do not have as of yet, or you're choosing to spend means or money that you do not have. What happened to the days of saving money, saving for something, and when you've got the money, you've spent it, or living to a budget? I just really worry about where this is going with the younger generation. Like, it's no secret that there's just a general lack of financial knowledge or basic financial knowledge in our school system. The Barefoot Investor has been very vocal on this, and I think, I don't have kids yet, Marty, you might be able to answer this, but I think things are changing a little bit, and they are starting to educate kids on basic finance, well, education, I guess. But I think about, you've got your phone attached to your hand, kids more than ever these days, and that's going to get more and more. Now you've got access to your bank account through your phone, so you can buy something wherever you want. And not only that, now you can actually choose to pay for that over a long period or a longer period, because you either haven't got the money or you just choose to keep the money because then you can buy more things. And you straight away are accepting the fact that you're going to pay extra for that product. You're going to pay fees over a 3 month, 6 month, 12 month period, whatever that might be. So what is that? What's that doing for our habits, particularly for young people who haven't grown up in a cash society like we did? It's just the done thing. Oh no, you don't have to pay for it. Just do buy now, pay later. Like, how are you ever going to save money? It's just this constant.
I felt very sick when you actually said it initially, like in regards to this. And like I said, I'm probably a bit of a dinosaur, where it's, you know, make money, pay later. I think that's a better philosophy. But just the extent of that buy now, pay later on multiple different transactions, and losing track of where you're at and paying the fees up front. And it's sort of getting around sometimes regulation a little bit too, because it's not so much an interest rate, it's more so a fee. So it's like, but you're just going to have people just buying stuff, and that's the aim, having no accountability on what's coming in, what's going out, and losing track of things really, really quickly. And I had this sick feeling when you said it. I was thinking about my own son on it, going, him just paying for stuff and as a given, and then sort of working hard to pay it back at a later date. It's, I don't know. I just feel like it could get out of control. And I feel like when anyone can't get a clear read on something and they're distracted in regards to just wanting the thing at all costs, it opens up a massive can of worms that it'll be tough to recover. Yeah, scary actually. Smart by Apple though, but very scary from a humanity point of view, it feels like.
Yeah, well, I think when there's no barriers to how easy it becomes to do it, you know, the double click and tap, you know, again, like a lot of the stuff that we talk around is education. So before you, let's say, if you're going to take out a credit card, at least back in the day, like I remember being sent a form to fill out, and I had to actually sit there and go through the process, and there was some stuff to read. And then obviously it went online. And, you know, again, you'd have to apply online and go through it. And again, there wasn't a lot of education about it, but I guess there was a bigger barrier to having to go through the process of what's my income, what's my expenses.
You earned the right.
Yeah, correct. As much as it was still wrong that the day I turned 18, there was a credit card application in the mail from a bank that, you know, I think I've said it before, but I think it was Combank. Actually, I know it was Combank, but, you know, like it felt predatory that an 18-year-old who's had a job for a couple of years, you know, flipping burgers at Macca's, gets a credit card application sent on their 18th birthday. Okay, come on.
Yeah.
And now that's going to be in our Apple Wallet, the ability to double click and tap and pay. And it's more the compound effect, as you said, Dick, as well. Like if you don't have the right financial literacy and education underlying, how many times you just go, well, geez, I've got a weekend going out with my friends this weekend. I want the new shirt and I want the new pair of shoes. And, you know, then I'll go into BWS and I'll buy the slab of Coronas. And all of a sudden you've buy now, pay later, a couple of $100 worth of things so that you've got more cash to spend on the weekend. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right, does it?
Purchasing is a motive. And I saw it at Michael Hill Jewelers. I never forget it. Where they have something called a funding line called Certegy, where you pay a fee and, you know, people are emotional. They want to buy the engagement ring and then you have a plan of attack to pay that out over time. But it's based upon the credit critical criteria. Have you got a job? Yes, tick, approved. And I go, no one's given any thought process as to whether that's actually affordable. So I think about that on multiple purchases, on smaller purchases. It's emotive buys. Yeah, everyone's influenced to buy, and there's just a loss of control. It's going to be great for the providers, definitely, because they're going to make an absolute smash load off it. But yeah, as to financial decent behaviours, goodness me.
And it's just it's habitual, right? And I thought about another example, and I'll give you another example on this, on what's become habitual or what's just become the dumb thing, which is where I think this is going to go. Cars, and I'll put my hand up here and say I'm one of these dumb people because I definitely do this, but I'll just explain what I'm talking about and how I think this is very similar. You think about how, Jace, what do business people say to you when they buy a car these days if they need a new car?
My conversations with me are usually around what's the tax deduction or the tax write-off they're going to get.
I'll lease it. Oh, why would I pay for a car? I can lease it. Then it's a tax deduction. And then every 3 years I just get a new car. I'll just lease it. Now that's a normality now, right? That's how we think about, that's the first thing we think about when buying a car. But how silly does it sound when you actually unpack it? Like, a car's a depreciating asset. So not only are you committing to spending $100,000 on a car, which is pretty standard these days, cost $90,000 for a Ford four-wheel drive. If you're lucky enough like Marty, you're driving a Prado, you're looking at far more than that. But hypothetically, you're spending $1,000 on an asset that you absolutely know is going to go backwards. So I know that I spend $100,000 on a car and I know that in 4 to 5 years' time, it's probably going to be worth $60,000, give or take. Do you agree on that?
Yep.
Then you make the decision to not only buy the car, but you then make the decision to finance it and end up paying $130,000 for it because you pay 5 years' worth of interest. So you're openly going into a decision that you know you're going to pay $130,000 for an asset that's going to be worth $60,000 in 5 years. Now, in what world does that sound normal when you put it like that? So, but it's just the way that we do things. It's just the way that we've become accustomed to buying cars.
And this is the thing, like I bet you talk about the Prado tongue in cheek, but I don't have a debt against that. And our second car is only worth about $3,000, right? So I've earned the right to buy that car without finance, right? And I'm thinking about this in terms of what really worries me, Nick, is what happens when people are having a breakfast and they're eating that breakfast and I go, well, I'll pay for it over the next 4 weeks. You know, and this is where it's heading. You know, so where does that stop. This is going to be something that's going to come in where people are going to have a breakfast, an experience that they're going to consume right there and then. So you talk about a depreciating asset. What about one you consume right up front and you're paying for over the next 4 to 6 weeks? This is where it could go, and that is, yeah, that terrorizes me, really.
I'd suggest that's where it's gone, Marty. I think the fact that the buy now, pay later is here, it's been here for quite some time. Now you've got a company like Apple who's taking over. Everyone's going to have access to buy now, pay later in their hand. Again, back to where I started with this, it's going to become second nature for our kids, and I'm really interested to see where this all lands. Like, in the future, how do our kids handle money? Like, do they understand, as I said earlier, the debit credit system? Because they've never had to really deal with it. They will understand it when it's too late and they don't have money to function anymore, because at the end of the day, it does all dry up. It's not endless credit. But it's a real concern for me. But
it's sad. I know we talk about cashless society. I think the sad thing about that is just the financial discipline that comes with knowing what cash comes in up front and knowing what goes out. And we have to find an alternative in the digital world to make that as important as it was.
Yeah, when it's physical too. There's something about learning about cash when it's physical. You know, I remember being a child, or even the trips to the shops with mum when she was, you know, and this, you know, as a really small child, not knowing exactly what was going on until you got older. But I remember regular recurring visits to like Big W or Kmart or Target, where we'd always go to the lay-by section. Mum would have a big conversation with the lady at the lay-by section. I'd be off running amok trying to break something somewhere. She'd scream and yell at Simon and I, and we'd get dragged out by our ears. And little did I know years later that it was mum had lay-by'd a bunch of stuff for Christmas, and every week she'd get X amount of money that would be the weekly spend, that would be groceries and paying off lay-by. And it was, again, using the cash that mum had on hand. She'd budget for everything that we needed for that week. And mum and dad didn't do credit cards. Mum and dad didn't have buy now, pay later. And, you know, we got by with what we had. So, yeah, this different world of the digital aspect of raising a child. Sorry, Nick.
No, I just actually remember the lay-by days and going there, you know, making the payment, but you still didn't get it. You couldn't pick it up until you finished the payment.
Correct.
No, and if anything, it felt like you earned that then, right? So there's this, you know, you worked for it, earned it. And now it's that like instant gratification of, you know, I want the $200 pair of Nikes now, but I'm gonna need $50 out of my next four paychecks to get there. Then I'm gonna pay a fee to a company for that service. And because it's not, you know, it's not the tangible $50 note or $200 in your pocket. I don't know.
The main thing is to get that product in your hands ASAP. That's the thing. And it's like at the end of the day, they're not thinking about – most people aren't thinking about their budget when they're looking at those Nikes, right? They're not thinking about all the other buy now, pay laters that are going on as well. So you get this compounding detrimental effect that – And the more we're talking about this, the more we need to actually have some financial disciplines around this digital age, because our kids will just burn through money they don't have, and people, adults are doing it. So what chance have the kids got?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I think we can go on that. We could go on a tangent on that stuff for hours, but let's just flip back to Apple for a bit and and the genius that is Apple, that they are brainwashing us all. As much as we don't like it, there's an element of respect.
Innovation, market share, like what they're kind of going after. Like,
yeah, innovation definitely, but I think understanding that they needed to go down the financial path was just brilliant. And now what that's done, and I'm not sure if this was the plan, but that phone is now so attached to us that it's very easy for them to now add things like digital keys to enter your building, identity, your transit cards, events, tickets that we spoke about, Jace. This is all easy stuff, because now someone's got their money in the phone, which is the thing that we need the most. You can't buy all the other stuff without it. So I think this other stuff now is just a fait accompli. It just comes through, right? Here's some numbers for you. So transactions through smartphones in Australia alone in the year 2022, this is a little bit old, was $93 billion. 15.3 million cards registered to iPhones. Banks are paying Apple, this is the cool one, more than $130 million in annual fees to enable the service. So this is data from 2 years ago, so it'd be more than that. So Apple's now got this revenue stream of, let's say it's 150, 160 now, that they didn't have purely from banks using the service. Apple Pay is available in 76 global markets with 11,000 banks and networks participating. So mind-boggling numbers, but how clever from Apple.
Yeah, and just to circle back, the eyeball to move your phone and control your phone is a feature that's being released. So I wasn't joking, I wasn't dreaming that up. And I sent you boys a video to watch after this, but the Apple Pro Vision goggles that are coming out, I feel like Apple's very deliberate. This will all come together in what they learn from your data of your spend. So look, let's say you shop at Zara or Nike or whatever it is. These Apple Vision goggles allow you to have a virtual fitting room where it scans your body and creates a 3D avatar of you. So you put the headset on, and then using your eyes and your hand gestures, you can choose the fitting room. You can then go into the shop and select clothing, and the clothing appears on your 3D avatar, so you can see yourself wearing those clothes right in front of your own eyeballs, like looking in a mirror, except you're in the comfort of your own living room. Nick, I know you like to go to stores to try things on due to the odd-shaped feet, but potentially, you know, the fancy new jacket from Zara that you want, you can just chuck your headset on and away you go. So again, the data that Apple will have from your Apple Wallet spend, from your banking data, from the things you look at on Instagram, all these different things that's collecting data, all these different data points from the buildings that you go to, the shops that you're near where you live, all things that'll be able to offer deliberate marketing strategies to people that are happy to pay to get in front of you on your screen. That's how Apple, like Facebook and Instagram and Meta's and Apple's, will continue to monetize data. So we are becoming the product, and it is a scary little world that we're getting ourselves into, but you know, it just happens. Like just one little bits every day, there's little bits more that we just kind of get deeper and deeper into this, and you know, without stopping to think about it, there really does need to be, especially with, as you said, Nick, the education for children coming through that are now attached to a phone from as young as, I think stats at the week over the weekend I heard was that 20% of 5 to 7 year olds in the UK have a mobile phone. Like, why does a 5, 6, 7 year old need a mobile phone? Like, you know. Anyway,
we're very much screen time's 45 minutes a day, whether that's, you know, whether that's iPad learning or whatever. But I think that's the thing. Within every relationship now of two people, there are four people in the relationship, which is two phones. Right, we are so tied to these things, and look, Apple are very smart. But again, should you be buying product? Maybe you should be investing in Apple. You know, you think about how do you play this to advantage financially? Again, like Nick said, not financial advice, but you better explore on ways for money to make money for you rather than just fall into the consumable habit and basically get milked. And it's not much fun that way. So yeah, keep thinking wisely about your money. It's your future, and you don't want to burn it by being irresponsible and just following the pack.
100%. Well, we love all new things tech and finance here at The Numbers Game. So if you come across anything that you find interesting that you think The Numbers Game should cover, or that you think that Marty or I, the tech and technology and finance guys, are interested in, or Nick, the guy who's just, I think Tommy described him as the licorice all sorts. He covers every different topic and content available. Please send your suggestions and things into The Numbers Game. Connect with Nick, Marty and myself on LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever you do your connecting. We love to connect with real life people rather than just be here with each other in this room. So reach out, subscribe, follow, do all the things that you do every week anyway. And until next time, thank you for joining us.
Spend and invest wisely. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.